Before we started today, that we were going to have a lesson that was a little change of pace. When I first came here, I realized many years ago that there is a lot of things are common to people in our journey. But among members of the church, there was something that I have noticed over the years that troubled me and has for a long time. And so I made it for the last, I won't say 30 years. I used to say quite often to people when we would start worship service or a Bible class or any gathering, I used to say to people, smile. It won't hurt you. And when I moved to Waldo, I began to say to people, smile. Now I'm looking out at people this morning and some of you have a hard time smiling. My mother used to say to me, son, wherever you go, smile and make the world wonder what you've been up to. Have you noticed that when people smile today, a lot of times people wonder, what's wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Happy? What is that? I want to tell you as we start this morning, a good many years ago, I was taught when I was trying to improve my preaching skills that there was a key to preaching. Number one, you're to tell people what you're going to tell them, then tell them what you're telling them, and then tell them what you tell them. You ever notice when you read the Bible how much it repeats over and over again certain things? As if God wants to make sure we understand some things are very, very important. Where do you begin as you look at the journey of mankind? Well, you begin in the beginning. You begin in the book of Genesis. You begin in what is called the Garden of Eden. You begin in a place that God made and put in it everything that man needed. Have you ever visioned in your own mind that when God had finished this creation that he stepped back and he smiled? The words are these, behold, it is good. Now, any of you ladies cook? You ever surprised yourself and made something good?
Yes.
Does it make you smile when everything turns out just right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know it's good. Mm-hmm. And you know if somebody else eats it, they're going to think it's good. Have you ever worked for somebody and the boss said, that was good. You did a great job. I really appreciate what you've done. So many people go through life expecting the worst. And so today I want to tell you what I'm going to tell you. How you go through life, be it unhappy, sad, despondent, full of health problems, mental health problems, or you go through life singing with a song on your lips and a joy in your heart, it is basically a matter of choice. You choose. Somebody told me this. A man was driving one day and he drove into the country and he passed a ball field where two teams were playing baseball. He happened to pull up right behind the center field fence. And so he engaged the young boy that was playing center field in conversation. He said, son, what inning are they in? He said, the top of the first. He said, who's winning? Well, they bat first, they're winning. Well, what's the score? And the little boy said, 54-0. Ooh. But we hadn't got to bat yet. You see, he chose to look at it in the most positive way he could think of.
Amen.
How many people choose to look at life as a drudgery? We all know the famous words of Hee-Haw. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. How many people go through life complaining about things that are unfair, things that happen that bring us sorrow? Do you realize that when you open the Bible, almost immediately after the Bible says God made this world and behold it was good, it went bad. It went south. Adam and Eve brought in the first three-letter word that has plagued man sin. Sin. Now, it doesn't make any difference whether you write sin, S-I-N, or you try to turn it around and see if you can make a word out of N-I-S. Do you know what's in the middle of sin? I. Adam and Eve brought misery upon themselves and to a certain extent upon all of us because they brought sin into the world. Now, why did they do it? They did it because the Bible says they were overcome by three distinct traits of mankind. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Satan used them all. And he suckered Eve in, hook, line, and sinker. And she was so impressed that she just had to have a cohort. She had to have somebody else to share this misery with. And so she gave to Adam and he ate. Now, what I want you to realize is that the devil convinced Eve that as good as it was, she had food. She had a perfect temperature all the time. I see some of you acting like it's cold in here or whatever. I don't know what Raleigh did today. But they had plenty. But the devil said, I can make it better for you. And all you've got to do is to realize that God is trying to make you unhappy. I want you, if you don't do anything else this morning, take this thought home with you. What would happen in our world today if everybody would wake up to realize that sin is the result of man believing that God is his enemy? Oh, no, no, no. I just made a mistake. You see, if you understand and believe the Bible, God calls us to righteousness and peace and joy and happiness. And His way is the way to all of those things. But it wasn't just Adam and Eve. We soon read of Cain. Anger, greed, distrust, mad at his brother, wanting to do things his way. That theme runs throughout the Bible. We read about it with Ananias and Sapphira, who wanted glory and praise for something they didn't deserve. But the end of all of these things is the way of a broken spirit. A broken heart. Separation from God. It began with Adam and Eve. You remember what the Bible says? God again came to walk in the cool of the evening. And he called for Adam and Eve. Where are you? We've hid. Why have you hid? Because we're ashamed. Is there a more powerful negative quality than shame? I wish I hadn't done it. Now, fast forward. Just cast your eye for a little bit. The year 2005 is almost gone. A couple more weeks, if we make it that far, and we'll see 2026. I remember when I thought I'd never see 1980. I knew when I was a kid that I'd be dead by the time I was 35, so I wasn't too worried about life and taking care of myself. You ever heard that old expression, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have taken better care of myself?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way to take better care of ourselves is to make better choices in our relationship with God. Look back on 2025 in your life. It's been a year for me that has brought a lot of heartache. I realize more and more how blessed I've been as I've journeyed through life to have some really, really good friends. I've seen several of them shuffle off this call to play this year. Some expected, some not. But you know, I've said this to people. I don't know if it's just because I'm getting old. But several weeks ago, I found myself something going on in my life. And I reached and picked up my phone and dialed a number. And before I realized it, I looked at it. And I thought, that's dumb. Mama hadn't answered a phone call in many, many years. And she won't answer this one. In 2025, every one of you has seen someone that you thought a lot of who's no longer here. Most of you have been sick. You've had loved ones sick. Every time we come together, we talk about pains and aches and people in hospitals. Do any of you complain about high prices?
Thank you.
Cost a lot to live? Any of you seen any crime? We see crime on our news every day. I remember when I first moved to Waldo, been here 3 weeks. When I walked one day and looked in my car, my truck, and saw a bullet hole in the side. And I thought, in Waldo?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
In 2025, you've seen a lot of bad things throughout the world. Maybe in your own life, in the lives of loved ones. What about in 2025 where the church is concerned? Oh, in most places we've seen decreased numbers. We've seen people who claim to be Christians with bad attitudes. We've seen churches that once stood for the truth turn to error. Seen a lot of things happen in 2025. And if we're not careful, we begin to sing a sad song. Elijah, if he could have put it to music, had learned to sing a sad song. Lord, I'm the only one left who loves you and serves you and wants to do right. Poor me. But remember, to God, it was the top of the first. And so he said to Elijah, you need to look around, my friend. I have 7,000 knees that have never bent to Baal. So I come this morning with a question to you. Have you had any fun in 2025? Have you smiled? Have you laughed? Have you accomplished anything good for other people? Have you made a choice in your life for people to see in you the marks of the Savior? But the real question is, if you live in 2026, what choices will you make? I can assure you, you'll see trouble. You'll see sadness. You'll see rebellion as strong as the rebellion of Adam and Eve. You'll see evil like Cain. You'll see people steal from other people like Jacob. You'll see people lie like Ananias and Sapphira. You'll see the bad side of life. Some of you remember a few weeks ago I told you a story, a true story. On a Saturday night, my phone rang, and a lady called me by my name, and she said, my husband and I need you to do a big favor for us. Have you ever opened your mouth and almost immediately regretted it? Because the words that came out of my mouth, sure, anything I can do. And she said, I need you to go to a certain place and get our daughter. So I told somebody that certain place was not a good place. It was a honky-tonk in the truest sense of the word. And I said, I can't do that. I said, what will people think if they see me drive in there? And worse than that, it's Saturday night. I'll be fired Sunday morning. Well, they both talked and talked and finally said, she won't pay us any attention, but if you go, she'll go with you. And we're afraid if you don't get her out of there, there'll be no hope left for her. I talked to my family. I called a couple of friends, and they all gave me the same advice. You're crazy. And as I pulled up, I knew I was, because I walked up to the door. There stood two young men who were the bouncers, and they both knew me. And they said, preacher, what in the world are you doing here? And I said, I've come to get so-and-so. Is she here? Yes, sir. Well, I'm going after her. Okay. I walked in, and some of y'all know this lifestyle. Smoke, music, dark. Had to look real hard to recognize places. And I was hoping nobody recognized me. But a group of about 12 young men sitting around the table jumped up and said, preacher, what are you doing here? And I told them. And I said, where is she? And lo and behold, she was all the way in the back. So when I went to get her, she immediately said, I'm not going with you. I said, yeah, you're going. It's all of a sudden, I realized there were a lot of people standing behind me, and I thought, you've done it this time. But one of the young men stepped up and said, you're going with him. We can only wish somebody cared enough about us to come get us out of here. you ever realize sometimes people are in trouble because they don't know anything else? Mm-hmm. They don't know there's a God in heaven who truly, absolutely loves them. And let me tell you why this is true. It is true because religion has failed people. That which should call men to God has promoted the same things we have described in the world. Religion has promoted division, greed, violence, crime, sex. And everybody wants to know what's wrong. The home has failed. More and more today, homes divide. They divorce. Children grow up in divided relationships. But I want to spend just a minute talking about the real problem. The church has failed. We have practiced the same thing. As Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2, when he said, the Gentiles have done all these wicked things. And the Jews said yes, and they ought to die for it. And in chapter 2, Paul said yes, and you have the law, and you've done the same thing with the law. So the conclusion is everybody ought to die. Mm-hmm. Have you ever wished that where the church of our Lord is concerned, men could do a reset? We could step back for a minute and ask ourselves truly, simply, with no pretense, what does God want? Not what does H.L. Shirey want. Not what do you want. Not what do preachers and elders and people with money want, but what does God want? And what would happen in 2026 if these things were true? The wise man, and I don't think it is by mistake, that in the book of Psalms, the very first psalm begins with these words, blessed, happy is the man who does not walk after the world, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates on it day and night. The same Greek word that is rendered blessed in the Beatitudes also means happy, favored by God. Happy is the man that does this. Happy is the man that does not do this. Turn with me to Psalms 30, if you will. We're going to read a verse. Just a couple of thoughts from this verse, and the lesson will be here. In verse 5 of this psalm, we read these words. For his anger endureth for a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. What's going to come for you in the morning? choose to be happy? Will you choose to count your blessings? Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. If God's people today would just step back for a minute and realize that it's time we pick up all the trash, all the negative attitudes, all the pettiness, the envy, the strife, and we drop them in the trash, and we pick up Jesus. Joy, peace, happiness, mercy, grace. What will tomorrow bring for us? It's not just a matter of what will it bring as an individual. But you see, the key to this congregation or any congregation truly growing spiritually and numerically is for men to root out sin and evil and be happy. Are you happy today? You see, if I know today that it is well with my soul, all my sins have been washed away. They've been buried in the depths of the sea. I can face tomorrow and all of its heartaches, all of its sorrows, and all of its pain. Because I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Why not today choose to be happy? Choose to call your friends, your loved ones, and your neighbors to the only one who can make us happy, who can put a real smile on our face, put pep in our step, and who can cause us to say, whatever comes, it's okay. Because I have one who is greater than he is to the children of disobedience. Choose Jesus. Choose Him as your friend, your companion, your Lord, your Master, and you will find what's best for you to let Him have His way with you. Let's stand together and sing.